From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the May 23rd edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. And a bit later in the program, we'll hear all about the cash grain market with TGM's Matt Bennett from Windsor, Illinois. Along the way today, Lisa Braltz will be here with another installment of her In My Backyard segments. And as we close out our half hour together, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast with meteorologist Peter Levitt. And it all happens on a Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
Let's check the numbers as they settled up in Chicago. On this Thursday afternoon, futures finished higher in the soft red winter wheat at $8.32 and a quarter for the July, up 5.5 cents. The September, that's actually the hard red, and then the July harvest month in the soft red at $7.03 and a quarter, up 14 3/4. That from Chicago, of course. September there at $7.09 3/4, up 14 cents. From the corn pit nearby, July futures 6.62, up 3.5. September in Chicago at 5.63 1/2, 3 3/4 higher. And December corn at 5.34 3/4, up 4 1/4. March contract 5.45 1/2, up 4 1/2 cents. And May corn at 5.53 1/4, up 4 1/4. July contract 5.60 1/2, up 4 1/4 as well. Soybeans now, July futures 14.99 1/2, up 5 1/4. August at 14.14 1/2, 9 cents higher. September beans were down 1/2 at $12.99 1/2. In November, the new crop harvest month, $12.43, up 4 1/4. January futures 12.49 1/4, up 4 cents even. Bean meal at 4.37, down 3.60. Bean oil at 49.66, up 2 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at 118.20. That's down $1.02 1/2. August feeders at 142.65, off $1.67 1/2. And July lean hogs, $93.02 1/2, finished 40 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures trading at $94.24 a barrel, down 4 cents. RBOB gasoline in the June contract, $2.82 7/10. That's a wholesale price of gas, up 0.8 cents. And ethanol at $2.63 3/10. That's 1 penny 3/10 lower. The difference between the two, the spread, that is, 19 3/10 cents at this hour. Natural gas at $4.25 7/10, up 7 1/10 cents. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.85 8/10. That's 1 1/2 cents lower. Gold futures trading $1,391.80 at the close, down, rather up, $24.40. And the U.S. dollar, 83.73. That's down 0.61 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Scattered showers mainly before 4 o'clock this afternoon Central Time. Mostly cloudy, a high of 60 degrees on a north wind at 18 miles an hour. Gusting all the way to 25. The chance of precipitation in the area set at 30%. Mostly cloudy this evening, gradually becoming clear, a low of 38. North winds at 9 to 18. And then tomorrow, sunny skies and 66 degrees. Clear on Friday evening with a low of 44, and Saturday partly sunny with a 66-degree high. Saturday night, a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 49 degrees. On Sunday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the area, mostly cloudy and a high of 68. And then Sunday evening, showers and thunderstorms continue, cloudy and 55. The same for Memorial Day with a high of 74 degrees. Monday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms continue, cloudy and a low of 60. Tuesday, showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a bit warmer and 79 degrees. And by the time we get to Wednesday, partly sunny skies and 82. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour with Pete Levitt.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
On this 23rd day of May, let's take a look at the futures markets here at the Closing Market Report. On the phone line from Mandeville, Louisiana, is Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Well, things have been moving quickly, at least they were, for quite some time here. We had a lot of corn planted last week, actually a really record pace for producers. Put, 43% of the crop in the ground or something like that nationwide, a whole lot of corn in the ground. More has gone in on and off, but a little rainfall, and the marketplace has taken a look at all of it and said, we still think we need to move things just a bit higher. Why is that the case?
Well, I think yes, because we passed this critical May 20th time date. You know, when you go back and look at the charts, May 20th seems to be the time frame that the trade kind of looks around and kind of sizes up crop potential based upon the planting pace, weather conditions, emergence rates, and all that. And I think it decided this week that while we did make good progress last week on planting corn, not all of us in. We may have upwards of 8 to 10 million acres of corn yet to get planted. And, you know, it's always the last 3, 4 million acres of corn that doesn't get planted. It's not the first 90 million. So I think the trade's kind of worrying a little bit about that. It's also taking a look at having upwards of half the soybean crop to be planted here after June 1. So when you kind of look at this year's crop potentials, yes, they still remain good, but we're off to a very, very late start, and it's likely that this late start will have some impact on the final numbers, either through reduced yield potentials, maybe a lack of acreage or drop of acreage from what USDA had anticipated on the March survey. So I think the market is starting to respond to a shorter crop than what it had been worked into the market, even though we were awfully slow getting the crop planted.
They've worked that in at this point. How long do you think it will last, if we have a normal growing season the rest of the way out, how long will it take the market to get a feel for really what the size of the crop is? Will we have to wait until sometime near, I don't know, mid-September maybe? And what happens between now and then?
Well, you know, I think depending upon when the crop is planted, I suppose, you know, usually we kind of think of as the last week of June to the middle part of July as a key critical time frame for reproduction. That's when corn tassels, and if we get a good rain event during that time frame, it's, you know, we're all Cub fans, it's over for the year. But I think, you know, when you take a look at planting dates and how slow we're getting off to start, we're probably talking more like the third week of July, maybe into the first week of August. So we could be, you know, anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks behind on the crop. So the critical time frame is going to be that mid-July, I think, probably into mid-August. And the beans are going to be real late. So, I mean, we're going to need some good rains, late August type rains, I think, to make sure we get a good bean crop there. And by the time July comes around, the big strong frontal systems that kind of move across the Midwest during April, May, and June are pretty gone. And then in July and August, you're into this popcorn shower activity. And a lot of the moisture for a good rain in the Corn Belt has to come up through the Gulf, and that means the hurricane seasons. Now, I just do not have any hurricanes down here, but if we need some rain in the Corn Belt to grow a crop, I guess I'll live through a hurricane or two.
Oh, but we're glad for your sacrifice.
Yes, but, you know, you talk to some of these hurricane gurus, they say hurricanes are going to be more East Coast dominated. They're going to be mostly going along the East Coast this year rather than the Gulf oriented. So I think the market's going to be biting its nails all the way through the growing season. I think in the short run, some of this price action in new crop months is very constructive toward maybe a June rally. It may be a rally that maybe takes us into the June stocks report and planted acreage report. A lot of that will depend upon how weather develops. By then, we'll have a summer weather pattern in place. Over the next 10 days or so, I'm going to be watching awful careful to kind of size up what kind of summer weather pattern we're going to have after this cool and wet spring pattern, see what happens here as we go on into June, July. But corn, lead futures corn, December corn is going to, unless we fall apart here tomorrow, it's going to close out the week with a week of reversal to the upside.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my cyclical work kind of indicates that maybe this might be a major shift in trend. We'll have to see some follow-through as we go on into the first week of June on it. November beans now have got a pattern of higher highs and higher lows. So I think the counter-seasonal decline that we've experienced in new crop months might be coming to an end here, and we might be going into something more sideways until we kind of got this crop sized up.
There will be a few that have old crop corn that they'd like to sell at a much higher price, and I suspect many of them are thinking $8 could be in the offing during that gap time frame from August, until maybe the 1st of October or mid-September sometime. Is that under normal growing conditions, not under dry conditions or stressful conditions in whatever form that might be? Is that
well,
something?
I don't know if I want to go on record saying $8.
That's what I was asking.
There is some chart objectives that you can read it that high, but we're you know, a lot of that will depend upon what new crop looks like. Corn supplies may not be quite as tight as what soybean supplies are, but we're going to have some South American inventory, I think, be imported this year to kind of cushion some of this tight old crop situation and delayed planting. Now, soybeans today, if you look at that chart, that's kind of a big spike high. I kind of on the road here today, but I do think we were up like 35 cents or so for a while. We actually, I think, made a new high, new calendar year high on the lead futures chart for the year today, and then we fell back and only closed to nickel higher. So I think that spike high might be an important point in the beans, especially if the market begins to talk or hear more about, South American inventories coming in to kind of satisfy this processor demand to meet the export sales commitment they have on the books for soybean meal.
I was looking at that chart, and there is a spike, of course, for the day, but if you look at it, it's a really odd formation, at least in the daily, because there's a big gap, and then it just climbs back up, and it almost, it's a channel going back up, and then we spike higher today near where we spiked high back, the 14th of May or that week.
Yeah, we kind of have what we call as a roll-up market, and that is when you get into tight supplies, no carry in the market, and your old crop months expire at a premium to the new lead futures. And what we've done in beans here today is completely erase that premium of a couple weeks ago when May expired and July came to lead futures. It just completed filling that gap today and then went on up and made a new calendar year high. Now, corn futures are creeping their way into that chart gap.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have some more horsepower than what we know today, maybe an export demand or something to get her to go up there. But we did, I think today's rally did generate some good cash movement in corn from the U.S. farmer. and I think that spike high in soybeans generated some South American hedge pressure also. So when you get these big up days like this, like we saw here today, you usually get hedge selling either from either North or South America usually comes in, and that's what kind of knocks it off the highs as we go into the close. But those are usually bullish signs because corn is moving from weak hands to strong hands. So that is usually a bullish sign in the long run. Short term, it puts a little pressure on the market.
Hey, thanks, Dan, so much for taking the time with us. You said you were traveling. Where are you today?
Well, I'm on I-10 headed to Waco for the weekend.
Oh, well, say hello to Teresa and have a great weekend and Memorial Day, too.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises, and he is in Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com. Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Coming up next, in my backyards, Lisa Brault says revitalization is underfoot in Urbana and food is playing a part.
Downtown Urbana seems to be coalescing around food. Home to the newly expanded Common Ground Food Co-op for the past several years and to Urbana's Market at the Square and the Urbana Sweet Corn Festival for well over three decades, food is a dominant presence in Urbana's downtown. And slowly, with the appearance of restaurants and bars with real staying power, word is out that the area's other downtown has got its own thing going on.
I think we're all very proud of the downtown Urbana's identity and how it relates to food. But I'm not sure if that alone has been a singular focus.
That's Brandon Boyce, redevelopment specialist for the city of Urbana. He and Tom Carino, the city's economic development manager, are enthusiastic about downtown Urbana's food-related successes like the co-op, the farmers market, and restaurants like Black Dog, while noting an uptick in the number of inquiries about opening local food businesses in Urbana's downtown, especially restaurants and kitchens for communal use. The lending climate has improved slowly in recent months, and the city has reworked its incentive programs to help local entrepreneurs of all kinds, but other obstacles remain. Tom elaborates.
A lot of our buildings in downtown are older building stock, and you have an even higher cost of startup when you have an older building and you're trying to retrofit it.
They're pretty excited, though, about a project in the works that will bring additional life to West Main Street in downtown Urbana later this summer.
And I kind of moved back here because I grew up here, and then I lived in Chicago for about 6 years, and I came back here. And that was one of my kind of end-all plans when I moved back, like eventually opening up a cafe here.
Josh Lucas is a coffee guy. He's originally from Homer, Illinois, and after spending 5 years plying the coffee trade in Chicago, he moved back to this area, itching to bring extra fancy caffeine to downtown Urbana. He looks the part, a 20-something with that many tattoos and a beard just screams professional coffee person, but he has chops and an affinity for engaging, chatty cafe culture. He describes the last cafe he worked at in Chicago.
Upset a lot of people that would come into study because we would talk so loud and engage everybody pretty constantly. It was a fun, rowdy place to work. And I just like that interaction with people.
Josh will be sharing his space on Main Street with Pizza M, a pizzeria that's been working for years on a limited basis out of Mirabelle Bakery, also on Main. Matt Cho of Cake Design, the developer of the West Main project, is also planning a co-working space in the development and will be adding a couple other startup businesses to his roster. Also looking for space in downtown Urbana is this guy.
Originally, I was planning on moving down to Nashville, but I've always had this kind of inclination that I wanted to start a butcher shop because it focuses on all the things I really enjoy about cooking and none of the stuff that I really dislike.
Josh Boyd is a Danville native who's been serving up delightful specials with an emphasis on locally procured meats at Black Dog after a stint at Carmen's in Champaign and other restaurants in the United States. He was planning to move to Nashville to take a job there, but his love of charcuterie and huge support from his fans here convinced him to stay in this area and start his own business, The Butcher. Both Joshes have used crowdfunding, websites like Kickstarter and Indiegogo that offer customers and fans a chance to financially back a fledgling business, in addition to more traditional financing to get their enterprises off the ground. Josh Boyd, in particular, has a fondness for downtown Urbana, which he describes in his Indiegogo narrative as having, and I quote, a great art and cultural scene that is normally impossible to find in a smaller community. He's also a huge proponent of collaboration and cooperation between food businesses.
It should be a community. I understand that there's business and you have to be somewhat competitive, but at the same time, it's still a community. You still should get along. You should help each other out.
Will that spirit of collaboration and cooperation and innovation around food take hold, making CU a food destination in addition to a sports and cultural destination? Time will tell. For In My Backyard, this is Lisa Braltz.
Our thanks go to Lisa Braltz and to Dave Dickey for the In My Backyard segments. Lisa, of course, is the author, and Dave Dickey is the editor.
Support comes from the Black Dog Smoke and Ale House, serving barbecue beef brisket, pork shoulder, ribs, chicken, and more. Slow cooked over a wood-fired smoker. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Friday and Saturday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. The Black Dog, 201 North Broadway in downtown Urbana.
You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check the cash grain market on the phone line with us today for a Thursday afternoon. Matt Bennett from TGM. Good afternoon to you from Windsor, Illinois. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how are you doing, Todd?
Oh, I'm very, very well. Get everything planted first.
Well, we planted all of our corn and planted about two-thirds of our beans.
And your expectations of when you'll be able to get back in to finish up the beans?
I would say within the next couple of days, you know, if we don't get any rain. We had a couple spotty showers here in the last day or two, but, you know, we're getting really close to being able to get back after it.
What are producers asking you at this time?
Well, you know, I think a lot of guys were expecting some weakness in the corn market after the big, huge number we had there on Monday, and guys were maybe thinking maybe get some more hedges on. But we've talked about just being a little bit patient, considering some of the weather concerns we've got in other parts of the Midwest. And some guys are stepping in and rewarding the market just a little bit here.
Does that surprise you?
No, not really, especially the guys that planted corn that came up in 4 days and looks phenomenal. They feel a whole lot better than what they did 10 days ago.
It did bump out of the ground 4 or 5 days, and
yep.
Up it came. Cold weather isn't all that great today, but I suppose we'll be back to sunshine and warmer weather soon enough.
Yes, we will.
Any insect pest problems? I know Western corn rootworm ought to be out and about pretty shortly on at least a larvae. Black cutworm might be around, too, if you're in some areas of the state. Have you been out scouting?
Yeah, we've been out a little bit and haven't really seen anything so far. I mean, I've talked to a couple of different agronomists to talk about some of the same things you're talking about, cutworm and so on, especially where guys had some green stuff, and there was a lot of green stuff in the field this spring. So.
You could go ahead and say it. It was weeds.
Yeah, there was a little bit of weeds, I guess.
Yes, there were. Hey, what are your bids for the day?
Yeah, we're looking at 690 cash corn, 513 for fall, 1566 cash beans, and 1216. For fall.
Hey, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Don.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday. Back in 2 minutes.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It's National Taffy Day. Taffy has been part of American life since the late 1800s and has been a beachside tradition since it appeared in Atlantic City more than 100 years ago. Joseph Freilinger is credited with making saltwater taffy popular. Freilinger observed sunbathers and boardwalk visitors and came up with the idea to sell saltwater taffy. He figured tourists would want a reminder or souvenir of their vacation to Atlantic City. As an experiment, Freilinger boxed the candy and sold it one weekend, it was an overnight success. On this day in agricultural history in 1820, James Eads was born. An American engineer, he was responsible for building the two-tier triple-arch steel bridge over the Mississippi River at St. Louis. The bridge was the first in the U.S. to use cantilevered construction, and it opened on July 4th of 1874. He also created a year-round navigation channel for New Orleans. And in 1954, Keith Campbell was born. Campbell was a key member of the science team that produced the first mammal clone, a lamb called Dolly. Dolly lived 6 years and produced six lambs. While most sheep are generally shy around humans and huddle at the back of their pens when visitors come, Dolly loved attention. She would often rush to the front of her stall when she saw people coming by, bleating loudly. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Thursday afternoon. Pete Lavitt is on the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast. Pete, we've had lots of things happening in the last week. Give me your quick overview, please.
Okay, well, an overview of the last week, of course, has to concentrate on the tornado outbreak in the Southern Plains. An upper low pressure system got stuck just about down through Nebraska and Oklahoma and provided the upper air energy and circulation to support rotation of thunderstorms that developed in that air mass. And the lower air level air mass was warm and humid. And as a result, we had not just tornadoes, but super tornadoes. And that last one at Moore, Oklahoma, was rated at EF5 on the Fujita scale. Now, that's the highest rating of the Fujita scale. And just so that people get a perspective, since 1950, when they've analyzed all the tornadoes since then in reanalysis, there have only been 58 E5. So it's an average of maybe one a year. But then you have to consider that most of those occur over open country, which comprises much of the plains areas and doesn't hit the urban areas that do the damage. But that was, of course, the news story of the week, the storms. Even today, there's potential for some severe weather in West Texas, where the temperatures are in the upper 90s and the dew points are in the 60s. And there's, again, some support aloft to give them the vorticity, which is the twist they need if the thunderstorms develop. However, back in Illinois, we're finally going to get rid of this cloudy, showery period here. There's a band of showers that passed through Champaign this afternoon, and that's a cold front that's moving southeastward. We're going to see clearing weather for the rest of today and tonight, and cool temperatures. That we can't get away from, the cold temperatures. Temperatures tonight will range from the upper 30s to low 40s. A few isolated spots may be down near frost levels tonight. And then the same thing tomorrow. We're going to have a mostly sunny day with some a chance of showers along the Mississippi Valley region, but otherwise a fair day. Cool temperatures, highs in the 60s, lows back again in the upper 30s to low 40s, and then it starts to warm up on Saturday and Sunday, but along comes the rain as well from the west. Meanwhile, the western Corn Belt isn't going to fare nearly as well. They're going to be wet tomorrow and Saturday, especially, and Sunday. And so Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, northern Missouri are going to get plenty of rain this weekend. As far as the outlook is concerned, we're going to end the month on the cool side of normal, although the last couple of days may be warm and kind of wet. And this probably gives us the coldest spring on record. That pairs with March and April, which were the second coldest pair on record. And so where is that warming we keep hearing about? Well, it doesn't exist.
Hey, thanks so much, Pete. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
My pleasure.
Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, wraps up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Learned Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learned Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro On Demand Bulk Soybean Handling System.